I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 11. Judges, chapter 11. And let me say what a privilege it is for me to be here. I love your pastor. I love you. A lot of us here grew up together, didn't we? Been a lot of water under the bridge, but thanks be to God, we're still here. This morning I want to look at a passage of Scripture that is either one of the saddest passages of Scripture that you've ever read, or it's one of the most glorious passages of Scripture that we've ever read. And based upon our Lord's word, when he was on the road with two men to a place called Emmaus, they were traveling down the road, and the Lord came up to these two fellows, and they were talking, and he said, what are you talking about? And basically what they said was, obviously, you're not from around here, are you? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. 3 days ago, he was crucified. We thought for sure that he was the Christ. He told them, oh fools, slow of heart, to believe all that was spoken. And the Scripture says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Now I know this. According to our Lord's word, in all the Scriptures, he's there. And I'll tell you, the blessing of Almighty God is when the Spirit of God gives us eyes to see it. He opened unto them the Scriptures, and later, after he left them, they said, didn't our heart burn? Today I pray that the Lord might be pleased to allow us to see. I want to see. I know what we are by nature. We sleep, as the bride said in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. I sleep, but my heart's awake. She was admitting what she is by nature. I sleep, but my heart's awake. It's the voice of my beloved. He called to her. She gave him excuses. What did he do? He said he put his hand in the hole of the door. And her heart was enlivened. And she got up. But he had removed himself. He knew how to draw her. Today, I mean this, if this is the last time we ever meet together, I pray that God be pleased to put his hand by his Holy Spirit in the hole of the door of our heart and enliven our hearts to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judges chapter 11. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to just tell you for the sake of time, starting at verse 1 through about verse 28, let me tell you what has happened. There was a man named Jephthah. Jephthah. Verse 1 says he was a Gileadite, a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a harlot. Gilead, his dad, begat Jephthah. His dad got married. Later, after he'd had sons by his wife, they cast out Jephthah. They said, "You're not going to have any part of Dad's inheritance." They cast him out, and in verse 3, Jephthah fled from his brethren, dwelt in the land of Tob. And while he was in this land of Tob, there was a king from a place called Ammon. And he was going to, verse 4, he was going to make war against Israel. And what happened was the elders of Gilead from Israel, they came back to Jephthah after they'd cast him out. And they told him, he said, "Why don't you come over and be our captain? Help us out here." And Jephthah asked him, you read this, you can go back and read it later. But what happened was, he said, "Now, how is it? Now you cast me out. You won't have anything to do with me. And now you're coming back to ask me to be your captain?" He said, "Now, if I do this, will I be your captain?" They said, Lord is our witness. That's what we're going to do. Verse 10, the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "The Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words." And the scripture says in verse 11, Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Well, he prayed about it. Right thing to do. This king of Ammon, he's wanting to make war. So Jephthah, verse 12, he sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon and says, "What hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" The king of Ammon says, basically in verse 13, they said, "Well, the reason we're doing this is because you stole it. Israel stole this land from us." That's what verse 13, the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messenger of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan, and therefore restore those lands again peaceably." He said, "Now this is what we want. You guys came out of Egypt and stole our land." Well, Jephthah said, no, we didn't steal your land. The Lord gave us that land. We weren't looking for a fight." Now he said, look at verses 16, 17. "When Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness under the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, 'Let me, I pray thee, just pass through thy land.' But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh." He said, this is what happened. He said, "All we wanted to do was just walk through. We just wanted to walk through. We didn't want any trouble. We were going to walk through the land. That's all we wanted, just free passage. Let them walk through. We're not going to start any trouble." No, we don't want you walking through. So Israel circumvented, tried to go around, tried to not have any problems, but trouble was coming. Verse 18 to 21, it says, "They went along through the wilderness, compassed the land of Edom, the land of Moab, came to the east side of the land of Moab, pitched on the other side of Arnon, came not within the borders of Moab, but for Arnon was the border of Moab, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. Israel said unto him, 'Let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together, pitched in Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. What he said, this is what happened. He said, you guys started it. You started it. And God gave us this land. This was our land by God's promise, by God's gift, by God's purpose. Verse 27-28. He said, wherefore, I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent. Jephthah tried to reason with him. Said, God gave us this land, and now you're coming up to me and you're telling me you give it back. And he said, God gave us this land, and we're not giving it back. Well, Jephthah knew, okay, there's going to be a fight. I can see the handwriting on the wall right here. It's coming. So Jephthah, the scripture says, knowing that there's going to be a fight, this is what happened. Verse 29, this is where I'd like to pick up. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. The scripture sets forth that Almighty God anointed this man to be the deliverer of Israel, of Gilead. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Now let me just make this statement. I was looking up at the top of my Bible there. You may have a little, up top of my Bible, it just kind of gives like a little summary of what's in that chapter. And it says, Jephthah's message to the Amorites, and then it says his rash vow. Now this is what I meant a while ago when I said, now this vow was either one of the most foolish, rash, you know, irrational thoughts that a man could possibly do, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And what he said under the inspiration of God's Spirit. And he did so for the glory of God Almighty, for the honor and the setting forth and the picturing of what the Lord Jesus Christ declared was so in all the scriptures. He's there. And by God's grace, we're going to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this vow. The Spirit, verse 29, of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and here's what happened. Look at 30 and 31. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Oh, Lord, give us eyes to see today. May we see him in this. This I know. Here was a man that knew God, that believed God, the Spirit of God was upon him. And what he said, as I said a moment ago, under the inspiration of the Lord. He knew, Jephthah knew whatever the price was going to be for deliverance, for Israel, for freedom, for deliverance, whatever it was going to be, God was going to have to provide it. Jephthah did not lay the foundation of what was going to be given. He knew that all things that are ordered in this world are ordered by the Lord. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Everything that moves, it moves by God's direction, God's purpose, God's will, God's honor, the glory of God Almighty. And Jephthah laid all into the hands of God Almighty. No stipulations here. He said, Lord, it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, whoever comes out of my house, Lord, that'll be the burnt offering. I'm going to offer that unto you. The burnt offering was an offering. It was a sweet savor offering. It was an offering that was given to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and His obedience. His obedience unto God in the redemption of His people. That was the burnt offering. When you came to the tabernacle, they set that tabernacle up in the wilderness and it had a tent and it went all the way around. And inside that tent area, that open air area, there was the tabernacle, outer court and the Holy of Holies. But that outer court had a tent all the way around it. And there was a door, it was one door. And to get into that court, there was the brazen altar right there. There was the door, one door in. There's the brazen altar. You got to get past the altar. Right there. That's where the burnt offering was offered. That sweet savor offering, magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ and His obedience, faithfulness to His Father, the burnt offering. That's what Jephthah said. Whatever comes out of my house, he vowed this vow. I'm going to enter into a covenant. Boy, you know, any time we hear that word covenant, I think about David. This is all my hope. He made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. That's all my salvation, that Almighty God would have mercy upon me. Here's a man that I absolutely, this was not, I don't believe that was a rash. Let me turn, hold your hand right there, turn to Hebrews 11:32. Hebrews 11, verse 32-33. The writer to Hebrews says, Hebrews 11:32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, this was a man who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Jephthah did what he did by faith. The Spirit of God was upon him, and by faith, this man who believed God said, Lord, what shall be the sacrifice for Israel's deliverance? Lord, whatever it is, you provide it. I'm not in a position to bargain with you. Lord, I lay this before your feet. I cast all of my care upon you. this nation's they're going to war with us, and the people have come and they've asked me. He laid the case before the Lord. Lord, there's going to have to be a payment. Sacrifice is going to have to be offered. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no deliverance. There's no freedom. Lord, you're going to have to provide. Isaac said, Father, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Jephthah said, and turned back to Judges 11, Lord, show me your way. Lord, you direct. Show me your will. Lord, you provide what you demand. Well, the scripture says in Judges 11, 32, 33, so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aurora even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, and with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. The Lord did surely give victory unto Israel. Israel was victorious by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the will of God. And now, what does the Lord demand? What's the cost? What's the price? What's the sacrifice? The scripture says in verse 34 and 35, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels, with dances. She was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. What's the price? What's the cost going to be? What did the Lord require? I'll tell you what he required. Everything. Everything. Which one of your kids would you give up? Which one of your grandkids? Here he saw his daughter. The scripture revealed that his heart was broken. He loved her. He loved her. Oh, but right here, let us behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the price of redemption? What did it cost? The scripture says that Jephthah came, walked out, his daughter came out, she was dancing, she was so glad to see her daddy. And he looked at her and he said, my daughter, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot. Let me read this, Numbers 30, verse 2. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2 says this. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. He said, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. I can't go back. What's it going to cost? First thing comes out of the house. The Lord ordered this. And in this we behold the glorious person of our precious Savior. Here is Jephthah, a beautiful type, I could see, right here, of the Father. Here's the Father. And here's Jephthah's daughter, a picture of the Son. This was his only child. That's what he says. Verse 32, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels, to dances. She was his only child. For God so loved the world, and not everybody without distinction. You know that. Your faithful pastors taught you that. You know that. God so loved the order, the arrangement of mankind. He chose out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. He loved this order. He sent his only begotten Son into this world. Lay down his life for the sheep. What's it going to cost? It's going to cost his only daughter. You look at her and you think, I tell you what kind of sacrifice it's going to have to be. It's going to have to be a precious sacrifice. The Lord spared not his own Son, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is, I know, what's a sacrifice? It's going to have to be a precious one. Precious. His only daughter. Proverbs 23:26. What's it going to demand, Jephthah? The Lord said, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Here's the Father's heart. This daughter is a picture of the Father's heart. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You hear him. You hear him. What's it going to take? I tell you, it's going to have to take a precious sacrifice. Precious sacrifice that sheds the precious blood. That blood that when the Father sees, he says, I'm going to pass over you. That's precious. What's it going to take? I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to have to be a willing sacrifice. Look at her in verse 36. She came out. He told her, he said in verse 35, I opened my mouth unto the Lord. I can't go back. And you listen to what this daughter says. Now let me tell you something. This really happened. This really happened. She said unto him, my father. Now the word if there is in italics. Thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord. Listen to what she says. Do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. She was a willing sacrifice. She said, my father, you opened your mouth to the Lord. And according to the vow, she knew what was going on. Because of her answer, she knew what happened. According to your vow, do to me according to that which proceed out of your mouth. Oh, do we not hear the words of our precious Savior? Listen to his words, John 17:1. Father, here he was in this high priestly prayer. Soon he's going to the cross. He came into this world to seek and save that which is lost. He had a sheep. He has a church. He has a bride. He's come to get her. He's going to come redeem her. And he is the eternal surety. The one who has eternally stood to answer. I will answer. I will lay down my life. I will give myself. This body shall be broken, and shall be broken willingly. And listen to the words of our Lord, John 17:1. Father, glorify thy Son. Glorify me as the Redeemer, that thy Son also may glorify thee according to that everlasting covenant of grace. He says, Father, do to me according to your word. Psalm 138:2. How does God? What's God's attitude concerning his word? Listen to this. Psalm 138:2. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has magnified his word. Not one word shall fail. Not one word returned void. Jephthah vowed this vow and said, whatever comes out, Lord, you order it. What kind of sacrifice is he going to take? It's going to have to be a precious sacrifice. Speaking of the preciousness of our Savior, willing sacrifice. I laid down my life, he said, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. You say, well, the Romans crucified him by God's determinate counsel. He laid down, he said, you didn't take my life from me. I laid it down. I lay it down of myself. Oh, behold the preciousness of the submissive Savior. Willing. Precious, willing. What else is it going to take? I'll tell you what it's going to take. It's going to have to be a pure sacrifice. Look at verse 37. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down to the mountain and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. She was a virgin. I know this. In herself, she was like any other sinner. Born in sin, liars. But as a picture, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, in her purity, she was pure. A virgin. A beautiful picture and type of him who became us, who is holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He hath made him sin for us who knew no sin. Who knew no sin. He knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What is a sacrifice going to have to be? It's going to have to be a precious, a willing, pure sacrifice. But I tell you what else is going to have to be. It's going to have to be a trusted sacrifice. Reading verse 37 and going into verse 38, she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down from the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, verse 38, go. Go. Now here was his daughter, and she had already told him, you've opened your mouth unto the Lord. Can't go back on that. Do to me as you vowed. So I'm going to ask you something. I'd like to go up the mountains in a couple of months, bewail my virginity. And he told her, go ahead. You know why he said that? You know why he told her to go? He trusted her, D. He trusted her. He trusted her. If my daughter said that she's going up for 2 months, I trust you. I believe you. Hold your place right here. Turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 11, 12, 13. Ephesians 1, 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God's people, in the day of God's power, when it pleases God to call them out of darkness, they trust Him. They call on Him. Who first trusted Him? Who first trusted Him? The Father. The Father. The Father who first trusted Him, in whom also you trusted. All of God's honor, all God's will, the redemption of His people, the fulfillment of God's everlasting covenant. Everything that God Almighty eternally purposed in the glorifying of the Son, in the redemption of His people, He trusted all into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. All power was given unto Him that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given Him. The Father trusted Him. She said, "Father, let me go up a couple of months and bewail my virginity." And He said, "Go." Back in Judges 11:38, He sent her away for 2 months. She went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. Let me tell you what else the sacrifice is going to have to be. He trusted her, but she's going to have to be found faithful. The scripture says in verse 39, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to His vow, which He had vowed. And she knew no man." Now I'll look at that last part in just a moment as we close. The daughter of Jephthah came back knowing what her fate was. She was faithful to her work. John 8:29, concerning our Lord, "And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." Without her faithfulness, without her coming back, Jephthah's vow wouldn't have been accomplished. She didn't come back with no sacrifice. Oh, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who glorified the Father and faithfully laid down His life. Again, our Lord said in John 13:31, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in me." He was glorified as the Redeemer, and the Father was glorified as the electing God of all people. The scripture says that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to His vow, which He had vowed. She knew no man. And in closing, she was a remembered sacrifice. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. They remembered her. You can read all the commentaries that you want to. Ask yourself, well, did he really do it or did he not do it? Some say, well, he just set her aside for celibacy. Some say, well, he sacrificed. I'll leave that in the hands of the Lord. I could tell you my thoughts, but I'll leave that for the Spirit of God to teach us accordingly. But here's what I'm going to say. Whatever the vow was, whatever it entailed, it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. That word right there, it says it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament. It says in the margin of my Bible, it says to talk with, but I'll tell you what else it means. It means also to rehearse with praise and thanksgiving. To remember. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you what we do. We come together to remember Him. We eat of the Lord's table in remembrance of Him. But when we come today in remembrance of thanksgiving and praise unto Him, how thankful we are that concerning Him, we can truthfully say, and I can say this with joy and thanksgiving, He was the precious sacrifice, the holy sacrifice, the willing sacrifice, the trusted sacrifice, the faithful sacrifice, and the remembered sacrifice. I'm just thankful, Chris, that you give me a heart to remember it. I've told this story to some of you. After I moved to Fairmont, I was there for 7 years. And Brother Scott Richardson came up one day, he's talking to me, and he told me, he said, Marvin, I love you. And I said, I love you too, Scott. He said, I'm going to give you something here. He pulled out a pocket knife, Tommy. Gave me a pocket knife. He said, I'm going to give you this pocket knife so you can remember me when I'm gone. I told him, I said, Scott, you think I need a pocket knife to remember you? You really think I need something like this to remember you? But Al, you know I can't look at that pocket knife without thinking about it. I can't do it. We can't come together and hear the glorious gospel of God's grace preached except that the Lord, by grace and mercy, calls us to remember the thanksgiving. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.